From Providence, Rhode Island, in the Minute with Mary studio, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of the Potterverse. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I wish I had one of those local pubs that I frequented. It was just the place that you went, and you know the bartender.
Everybody knows your name.
Yes, I just wish I had Cheers, essentially. you know, I used to
we
have
We do
that.
Live
yeah.
close
We
to
do live near Cheers.
Yeah.
I mean, in context, I suppose.
In like normal people context,
yeah,
not
like,
Rhode Islander
if
context.
Like you're in Texas, yeah. We're close to Cheers. but yeah, no, I wish I had that. I like where the guy just knows or the gal knows your name and, you know, you show up and hey, everybody knows you. Hey, Merry Christmas and blah, 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 blah. You're like,
yeah.
I used to have that. Before we started recording this podcast live, well, we were recording it live, but before the audio version that you're now listening to, we have our pre-show, and I asked everybody what their favorite pub is in the pre-show. And Marvin, do you have a favorite pub? Do you have a favorite place that you go to where you're like, man, I love that place. I love going to grab a drink there. I love just mingling.
No, not anymore. I mean, my favorite place to be right now is my bed. So I feel like since having children a decade ago, if I have the choice of going out late to have a drink with some friends or snuggle in my bed, wear pajamas and read a book.
Well, even one in the past. even one in the past. You're like a place that you remember that you fancy.
Yes. Okay. So I do remember in my younger years, I used to go to this place called the Wicked Inn Pub. Mm-hmm. And they would have raffle night on Thursday nights. And everyone that came in got a raffle ticket. And you'd go in and you get your pint of whatever. But then throughout the evening, they would draw dar prizes with the raffle tickets. And it was amazing because they were raffling off stupid things. Like things the bar got for free. Mm-hmm. So like free coasters or free light up signs of brews that you would never have. And it was just so odd. And it was a really dirty place, like very much like the Hogshead. So just picture the Hogshead having random raffles of like, you know, knockoff butterbeer brand coasters. But as you enter with your dirty pint glasses, you get excited because you're like, I might win. And then say Lee Jordan wins. Say Lee Jordan wins the knockoff brand butter beer brand coasters. You don't cheer when someone wins. You heckle them. You say, oh my gosh, they're in cahoots together. They cheated. Like, you just heckle.
Kind of like when you won the free membership to the St. Andrew's Society.
And then if no one won, say the person who had the winning ticket already left early, mm-hmm. everyone in the pub would be like, one, two, three, loser. And then they'd move on. They'd pick somebody else. But it really felt gross and dirty. And it was all cobblestones because we live in New England. So we have a lot of like old things that I feel like this felt very much like England. So that was my Hogshead experience. But raffle night on Thursday night. So I'd say the Wicked Inn Pub would be my hometown place that I went back when I used to go out.
Yep.
And now I don't.
My Hogshead experience, I think, would be the pub at my old school at St. Anselm College. See, in my school, they wanted everybody to stay on campus as much as possible. So we had apartments in our campus. We had, like, it was a really nice campus. And one of the things that they wanted to do was they wanted to minimize, you know, people going out driving and consuming alcohol when you're juniors and above, or, you know, obviously 21 and above. So they had a pub right on our campus. And it was just called The Pub. And so we
That's
would go,
cute.
Yeah, and we, you know, we, since we would go all the time, we knew the bartenders, we knew the people that ran the security, all the students would be there, and there were traditions for each class, and for some reason, on Saturday nights, every Saturday night, everybody in the class would huddle around we had a pool table, we had the whole thing, and we would all huddle around the jukebox. And we would put on the song Simple Man from Lynyrd Skynyrd, and we would sing Simple Man.
Wow.
And that would be none of us were Southern. We weren't from Alabama. We were in New Hampshire, of all places. And here we are singing Lynyrd Skynyrd. I have no idea why.
Isn't it funny how just, you know, you get these little traditions. So, you know, and usually they're not like the cleanest, prettiest places when you get to have these little, you know, traditions
come on
up. Except
for my place, the pub.
Oh, well, you went to like a rich school, so.
Yeah, you poor couldn't go to the pub. We would keep you, we would weed you out. Yeah, no poor's allowed here.
All right, so here we are, friends. Man. Of course, I know
that. Sorry, thanks, gotta have fun with it. Gotta
thanks
have
for
fun.
Poking on me and the Weasleys. Anyway,
must,
of course,
must be an Earl.
Must be a Mary. Hand-me-down clothes. Go into a cheap pub.
URI shirt.
With hand-me-down coasters from knockoff butter beers. All right.
Must be a poor.
This is chapter 16, my friends. And in case you haven't guessed it, the chapter, of course, is titled In the Hog's Head. And I wanted to do this quote before I help our little lad. I just lost my spot, too, which is so, so funny.
What's going on here?
What do you mean, what's going on here?
Why is he dancing around for?
I don't know. Why don't you ask him?
What's going on?
Here, you go ask. Go speak to Dad while I read this quote to love. Once again, friends listening, this is Thanksgiving break, so our children are here all the time. Well said, barked Ernie McMillan, whom Harry had already been expecting to speak long before this. Personally, I think this is a really important, possibly more important than anything else we'll do this year. Even with our OWLs coming up. I'm going to pause while I say this. Blake, do you need to go take care of that?
Yeah,
and I can do this. I'll start this over. So friends listening live, you're here with me. Friends listening in the future, I apologize. But we're going to do this one more time. Parental stuff takes precedence. Parental takes precedence. Okay, so starting over. Well said, barked Ernie McMillan, whom Harry had been expecting to speak long before this. Personally, I think this is really important, possibly more important than anything else we'll do this year, even with our OWLs coming up. He looked around impressively, as though waiting for people to cry, "Surely not!" When nobody spoke, he went on. I, personally, am at a loss to see why the ministry has foisted such a useless teacher upon us at this critical period. Obviously, they are in denial about the return of you-know-who, but to give us a teacher who's trying to actively prevent us from using defensive spells. I love this. I love this bit because, you know, Harry was expecting Ernie to speak up well before this. You know, Harry has, in his opinion, very few allies. And so it stinks that for so long of this get together in the Hogshead, he's standing there thinking like, why hasn't Ernie said something? Ernie would definitely say something about this. And yet he's so silent, as if Harry didn't already feel like he was on display and a freak in front of all these people. And yet when I read this, I realize it's because Ernie was really taking the time to formulate what it was that he wanted to say. Keeping in mind that these are high school students, of course, he uses such impressive language. Now, granted, of course, this book was written by a grown adult who frequently has adult language. But, I mean, just picture someone 15, 16 saying that. Personally, I think this is really important, possibly more important than anything we'll do this year, even with our OWLs coming up. That, to me, yes, a teenager might say. But then he says, I am personally at a loss to see why the ministry has foisted such a useless teacher upon us at this critical period. That to me, like, it's so beautiful. Butterbeer, come here. Are you at a loss as well as to why this was foisted upon you? I just thought that it was such an impressive language. I did not speak like that when I was in high school. Those of you tuning in live, Butterbeer, come here. Those of you tuning in live, did you speak like that when you were in high school? Because as I said, it is not how I spoke. And so I thought it was really interesting for him to not only have chosen that language, but like I said, to me, this is why he took so long to say something, because he really wanted to find the right wording. And there's friends of ours like that. Can you just make sure the gate is closed? There's friends that we have, you know, whether they're classmates of yours, whether they are people who you work with, you know, family members who don't talk a lot. I am not one of those people. I definitely speak my mind way too quickly. But there are other people in our life who do take the time to really digest a situation, mull it over, figure out exactly the right words they had. So, Blake, I'm just saying that I found it very interesting that Ernie McMillan, who Harry expected to speak up sooner, but that's Harry's Gryffindor impulse, right? Gryffindors would be like, I'm going to speak up right away. I'm going to tell you how it is. Ernie took long and even used words such as, I'm at a loss to see why the ministry has foisted such a useless teacher upon us at this critical period. Obviously, they're in denial about the return of you-know-who, but to give us a teacher who is actively preventing us from using defensive spells. I just thought that that was so uncharacteristic of a normal teenager to say, foisted such a useless teacher upon us at this critical period. But like I said, I think it's because...
I feel like that's something that's very British.
Yes, but also, I think that this is just to goes to show you Ernie's character. Harry was expecting him to speak much sooner, and instead, Ernie took the time to say what he meant to say, and when he paused to look around the room to see if anyone was going to fight him on what he was saying, no one did. Mm. And I think that's because they're like, oh my gosh, Ernie's speaking up, and when Ernie speaks... he means it. He's taken the time. You know, he's a leader in his own way. Mm-hmm. You know, he commanded this kind of presence where nobody was fighting it. Nobody was questioning it. So I just thought it was a really interesting bit.
Yeah, no, I think it's actually really apropos that you bring this up, Mary, because this chapter to me, like, you get, I think, a really good sense of Harry and what he's going through. But also, I think this chapter is very much about everybody that surrounds Harry and cluing them in on the kind of person he is. You know, what that means to them. And you get a better sense of the awareness of not only the Harry Potter legend, but primarily, I think, what the outside perspective of Harry is outside of that legend. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right? Like, it's not just like... I think for a lot of people, Harry is this kind of mythic figure. You hear about Harry. Harry was the one who was, you know, the one who survived.
The chosen one.
He's the chosen one. I am the chosen one. he's the boy who survived, right?
The boy who lived.
But the boy, whatever.
We know.
Stats
we know.
For nerds. I'm wearing the shirt for a reason. Okay. No, but seriously, at this point, there's just kind of like these legends about Harry. You know, for the most part, he is, I would say, for the most part, kept to himself. I would also say that he really hasn't taken advantage of the fame that comes along with being Harry freaking Potter.
New celebrity.
Right. Where's my button here? I don't got the button. Somebody was touching my stuff. That's okay. Here it is.
I'm Harry freaking Potter.
And as a result, these kids are kind of just finally learning about Harry, about what he's done, how he's done the things that he's done, and what that all means, not only for him, but in relation to them and what he can offer them. I kind of find this a fascinating chapter, just because you do get such a larger perspective.
Yeah, the class body of the students going on. You're so frequently just with either the trio or maybe Harry's bunkmates. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much it. You know, we occasionally get Lavender Brown, a lav. Or Ginny might pop in here or there, but we do. We get a bit more people and we really get to flesh it out and get to see that there are a lot of people. So as Dumbledore's army is getting formed, we get to know some more of these characters, which is pretty exciting to see that there is this whole student body force. It's not just the trio anymore, that more kids really are concerned.
Well,
and they are
going to
join this movement.
You can see that I think the author is starting to build out the cast of characters, probably for what's about to come. Not necessarily Dumbledore's army, but the Battle of Hogwarts, so that when there are, you know, casualties, all right, or when, you know, there are things that are happening outside of just Harry, you get a sense of, oh, I know this person because.
Yes.
Right? And I see this person. I saw that person when. So when there is some kind of fate that is doled out to that person, you have more than just, oh, that's a name. That's, oh, I remember that thing. You know what I mean?
I do.
And that's important.
So on that note, it's time to get into the show.
Oh, geez, we're here.
What?
We haven't even gotten into the show yet?
No. That was just the title of the chapter in my quote.
Oh, my. Here I am thinking that we
I don't have the soundboard.
I know.
So I just was really hanging out.
That's why I went on. That's why I went on, is like I did.
I just thought you were really passionate about Ernie McMillan.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's get into the show, Blake.
Oh, my God. If it was Joe McMillan, then I'd be in. Not freaking Ernie McMillan of all people.
Too bad, Blake.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Now, friends, of course, we want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you thanks to our friends at jointhenerdclan.com.
15 minutes into it.
Our friends at jointhenerdclan.com are getting some holiday gifts, and I have extended our holiday gift giving and holiday cards. So if you want to get some mail all the way from Providence, Rhode Island, you still have time as long as you sign up before the end of Small Business Saturday. I've extended it for Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. Mm-hmm. I'll be real with you, it's just because there's hundreds of cards. So as long as you sign up before we have mailed the last card, you too can get one from Providence, Rhode Island.
I feel like by Cyber Monday, we should be yes. pretty much cooked.
So if you head on over, we're actually going to be doing some other fun things at jointhenerdclan.com. If you're a fan of the show The Crown on Netflix, mm-hmm. you get access to our Keep Calm Crown On podcast.
And you get to hear Betty talk.
Baking with Blake.
Yes.
Blake loves to bake, and he has been sick recently, but now that he's back, in addition to podcasting right now, he's actually going to be baking some pizza later today, so you'll either get to tune in live and have some discussions with him, or in post you get the recipe and you get the replay. So we'll have some also Christmas cookies and other fun things happening in December as extra thank yous for our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. All right, so hold on.
We're live right now, yes. And Kevin on YouTube says at least Blake wasn't going on about Justin Finch Fletchley for that long. No, you want to know why, Kevin? Because there's nothing to say about JFF.
Anyway, so the quote:
worst character. Eva.
Sorry, we already did the quote. The recap about this chapter, as I said, it's chapter 16 in the Hogshead. This is where the trio is in the Hogshead having a meeting with other students who are interested in having Harry teach them Defense Against the Dark Arts lessons. And then we learn a little bit about Ginny's boyfriend, Michael Corner. All right. So. Where do you want to kick things off?
Well, you know, it's great that you bring up the new boyfriend.
Okay.
All right. I think the inclusion of the brand new boyfriend mm-hmm. here is very much on purpose, right? And not just because, hey, Ginny's like, you know, seeing these other guys. It ties back to me to the Sorting Hat. Where at the beginning of this book, the Sorting Hat's saying, hey, we got all these divisions. We really shouldn't have these. Maybe we should all think about getting rid of these houses and just be one school. Within that context, Mary, I think there are two really important things that happen in this chapter, the boyfriend being one of them. The other, in the mirror aspect of that, the boyfriend, is Harry. And not that Harry needs to be with Ginny, but that Harry doesn't necessarily trust all of those people that are around him, right? And I think that there is, like, especially with how cold he was to Zacharias, like, he doesn't really see other people as his buddy. He's still, like, at an arm's length in this case. Yet, and that to me is a representation of the division within the school, right? Of how you're you, I'm me.
You're Ravenclaw, I'm Gryffindor.
We're going to do what we're going to do.
Okay.
Yet, at the same time, through Ginny, we're seeing the opposite and the answer to the division, and that is she's a Gryffindor dating this Ravenclaw, mm-hmm. and they seem, by all accounts, to be happy and whatever. I find that dichotomy, I think, very intentional in this chapter, because what eventually happens with Dumbledore's army, right, is that all of these students
Well, he joins and he actually like actively fights against the Kauros in the Deathly Hallows book and the Battle of Hogwarts. So just like you were saying previously in the beginning of this podcast, you know, when we get to meet and flesh out a lot of these characters, it is because we do get to see them carry on. He ends up, spoilers, of course, this is how we roll, friends. we are spoilerific. He ends up dating Cho Chang. Ginny's going to break up with him. Like we're gonna see Michael Corner. Granted, he's not a character that we get to see in the movies. They kind of made this into Dean Thomas, you know, snogging. Mm-hmm. But of course, in the books, we just get to have a bit more, a bigger universe. We get to flesh things out a little bit more.
We're just gonna play that.
I did not mean to.
It wasn't
me. But what
me.
I like about it too me. Is it takes, because of course Harry's so excited in this chapter. Cho's there and she speaks up for him and she wants to know more. And at the end of the chapter, everything's la-di-da to Harry. Harry, who's been humbug for this entire book after he leaves the Hogshead, and Cho has, you know, granted, you know, is still sad about Cedric, but has eyes for Harry and is excited. Harry like flips a switch. He is pumped. He's ready to go teach Defense Against the Dark Arts. Cho's into him. He's excited. And I love this with the Michael Corner and the Ginny and the Ron and everything, because this is 15, 14 year old stuff. Granted, we have a son who is in fifth grade, and I cannot fathom, you know, that this is potentially going to be his future in the next couple of years of the love romances and the triangles and the this, that, and the other thing. But like, I remember back to those ages, and that was what it was like. You're just having blossoming romances and interests, and having someone like you, having someone show attention to you who you fancy, changes your entire day. I mean, you could have flunked a test, you could have had a terrible interaction with a teacher, you could have lost your sporting event, but if the person that you liked smiled at you or said your name or just like walked by you, it changed your whole day.
All very true.
Right?
All very true. Absolutely. I
And as an older sibling myself, I had my younger brother in school. My younger brother, he was like, oh my gosh, Casablanca. I don't even know what he was.
Casablanca?
Not Casablanca. What's the Casanova?
Casablanca. You know what, Mary? We're just going to.
Thank you.
There you go.
He came in freshman year and just had like new girlfriend of the week. And I had so many people coming up to me and be like, oh, your brother was snogging. They weren't calling it snogging. Your brother. Listen, man, it's a holiday weekend. Give me a break. But I'm just saying, I felt Ron's pain. It's hard sometimes to unsee your younger sibling. And so when they start to have their own romances and interests, it is hard. So I appreciate. And Hermione has kept this a secret for the whole summer.
Yes.
Hermione?
I'm not sure if I can recover from Casablanca.
Hermione is all about Who Run the World, girls.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, Marvin.
You're welcome, Blake.
Oh, my God. Hey, you know what was actually really cool about this chapter?
Everything?
Yes, but the fact that we get introduced to Aberforth and we don't even know it.
Oh, the little droppings that we get?
So great. So great. I mean, what is it? I have it written down here. What was it?
About the description of him?
Yeah. The fact that Harry thinks that there's something familiar about him, and the fact that the place smells like goats. I love those two descriptions.
The barman was a grumpy-looking old man with a great deal of long gray hair and beard. He was tall and thin and looked vaguely familiar to Harry. What's also interesting is Harry has seen the previous picture of the Order of the Phoenix, and Aberforth was in that picture, I believe.
Right.
So not only would there be resemblance of Dumbledore, but actually Harry has seen Aberforth Dumbledore.
Just in a younger version of
previously.
Himself. Yeah.
And then, you know, he has gray hair rather than silver hair. And he peeks up when he hears the name Dumbledore, because that's his name too.
Right, exactly.
And of course he stares at Harry's scar, and it really makes you wonder, how much did Aberforth know at this point? Was Aberforth really close with James and Lily Potter? being that he was in the Order of the Phoenix. Oh, did he mourn James and Lily? Has he been keeping an eye on Harry as well?
I feel like they must have, that he must have.
I bet you he was friends with Lily. I bet that they like shared, I don't know, like bread recipes or something. You know, that'd be something. Lily was a great baker. She was good at potions.
Totally
she was an amazing baker.
Totally in the sourdough.
Oh my gosh, right? Because baking, we've got Tammy joining us live. Tammy's an amazing baker as well. Baking is a lot like potion making. You have to be very specific. You have to be very careful.
Yes.
And I feel like Lily would have shared with him some great bread recipes.
She would have been all about the bread life with him. I totally agree. And he had no problem eating the bread, right? Yeah, certainly. So this is the book. Again, I feel like where the author is now setting everything up. I think we've gotten to the point. There's definitely a demarcation point here, right? Between books 1 through 4 and then books 5 through 7. Right. There's I think that the idea, at least in book 2, was to get to book 4. And then from book 5 on, she was probably thinking, all right, now I've built my world, or I'm continuing to build my world, but I got to get to an end point here. And I have these things in mind.
Well, the movies had started too at this point.
Right. So,
you know? So it's
my sense is, she, because of all these little things that keep popping up, especially in this book, she is now building towards the end.
Yes.
Here. Right now.
Right here. Right now. Yeah, if someone's introduced to you, they will be back. We are not introducing, I mean, in general,
there's no more
in
JFF,
the universe.
JFF useless character.
No, stop. He was not useless. He was important because he was a mudblood, okay? It's important.
Useless.
Thank you.
The
oh my
worst.
God, Blake, stop.
The worst.
Stop. You're going to make me mad like you did on Thanksgiving yesterday.
What did I do?
Oh, you know what you did.
What did I do again?
To our son when we played.
I didn't
do
it to him.
I know, but in front of him. Oh,
Blake. Whatevs. We were playing a game.
Yeah.
And what was it? What would you look like if you saw the cutest
little animal in the world?
I don't even
want to
talk about it because
I'm going to get mad.
Okay, and I gave a hand gesture that Mary. I was a few butterbeers in. All right, and I was feeling a little loose.
God.
I gave a hand gesture that she didn't appreciate.
I didn't. Gonna make me mad all over again.
Oh,
gracious.
Man.
All right. So we go. There's been a couple of things that have been happening over the next couple of weeks before we even get to the Hogshead, just to show the passage of time and to show how patient Hermione is. Mm. I think this also is Hermione just collecting evidence that they still need a Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. She planted the seed in Harry's mind and then was like, all right, let's see how long he can stand it, because weeks go by between this and they have some more Quidditch practice, which is fantastic for Ron to get some more. They get to practice vanishing their mice, and then it's off to the Hogsmeade weekend, which thankfully Sirius allowed.
Yes, absolutely. One other thing that keeps happening in this chapter too, and I kind of like it, is that Hermione and Ron are couching everything they say before they kind of talk to Harry. Like, all right, hey, like, don't freak out. Don't get mad. Don't blow up. Like, I really like that because it shows their awareness of Harry. And also it shows, like, that not everything is copacetic with Harry. Not everything not only does he feel badly, and like, of course, we have the reference to Caps Lock Harry, right? But also, more importantly, we're recognizing the fact that his friends, the closest people to him, are aware of how quickly things can turn with Harry, right? Where they're aware that they need to say, hey, hold on, like before I say this, just let's take a step back and don't worry about it, but don't blow up.
They know he's sensitive, yeah.
They know he's sensitive.
Which shows such great maturity and friendship knowledge that they have for him. And just grace that they're giving him while he's grieving.
Yes, and they are consciously aware of the fact that sometimes they kind of have to hold back on a conversation that maybe in other books or other chapters prior to this, they would not have held back. Yet at this point, they are. And again, I think it keeps highlighting the fact that Harry is alone in all of this. Like, there's only so much that each of these characters can do to relate to Harry in a specific way that he would understand and appreciate. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know. So I like that. Again, this is another reason why this book is the best book of the series.
We get a mixture of Victor Krum, the bonbon, that he and Hermione have stayed in touch, of course, and he also was able to give props to Harry about him being able to do so many things. So I think over time of Hermione and Ron suggesting this to Harry and kind of giving the evidential proof, they're also having other people stand up and say it. And then when we're in the Hogshead, of course, other people then say, is it true that you can do a full Patronus? Yeah. And of course, that was Susan Bones.
Yeah, and this is why, again, I love this chapter, because as we were mentioning at the beginning of the chapter when we were just talking about your quote, and I didn't know, all of these kids are learning about Harry, really, for like the first time. Like, oh my God, you can do a Patronus?
So Madam Bones goes home, because this is her auntie. It wasn't even her daughter.
Yeah.
It was her auntie, and she probably came home and was like, Susan, I have to know. Do you have class ever with Harry Potter? And Susan's like, yes, yes. You know, we ride the Hogwarts Express all the time, and there's this and there's that. And Madam Bones must have been a few fire whiskeys deep, because she really should not have been talking about classified information that was shared in the Wizignamot, but she lets it happen with Susan. And she's like, girl, I got to tell you, that kid. Oh, but she quit. Madam Bones quit. So she's probably like, whatevs. I could say whatever I want
now. Good point,
she quit. She peaced out.
Her NDA is no longer applicable.
The timeline has passed, because she goes and tells 15-year-old Susan that Harry can do a full corporeal Patronus.
Yeah, which is crazy.
I love it.
Like, when you think about it, these kids really truly are learning about Harry the person as opposed to the legend. Mm-hmm. Right? The fact that Harry did like all of these things against Voldemort and stood up and lived
but
to tell
about it. Not everybody knew it. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yes. And so, and even, you know, Lee Jordan, who's been close with Harry, close to the Weasleys, he says, like, I didn't know this. And then Fred and George, of course, say, our mom told us not to. There's enough attention on Harry himself. And then we have, isn't it Justin? Who was it who says, oh, okay, it wasn't Justin.
Good.
it's Terry Boot who says, and did you kill a basilisk with that sword in Dumbledore's office? That's what one of the portraits told me. And he says, yes, I did. And Justin Fitch Fletchley whistles. So the portraits in Dumbledore's office are just like Madam Bones being like, kid, do you know?
You have any idea who
do you have
dealing
any
with?
Idea who what 12-year-old Potter did?
Yeah, true. True. So he's kind of like a living legend at this point. And all these people are finally discovering.
Neville says, he saved the Sorcerer's Stone, which, I got to be real with you, how many kids know what the Sorcerer's Stone is?
Don't nobody know what the Sorcerer's Stone is.
Neville's pretty much talking about some random showy, you know.
You might as well be talking about Rosetta Stone.
Yes. He saved that stone thing. And then, of course, Cho pipes up saying that he went through all of the tasks in the Triwizard Tournament. Dragons, merpeople, acromantulas, and things.
Right, yeah.
So he's just got, like, all this time that he's built up thinking about it, has all of this substantial proof showing, no, Harry, there's one thing, luck, but there's another thing when you've honestly done all of this, and it gives him the courage to actually do it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Absolutely. Anything else you want to talk about in this chapter, Marvin?
Give me one moment. Was there anything else for you?
No, I think I'm good. Again, this is one of those things that, like, I also love that in the middle of all of this, too, there, Harry is certainly uncomfortable with all the recognition that he's getting. Yet, I think it's a great lesson for Harry. I think it's something that he needs to have, because there's a moment, I think, where I always go back to Luke Skywalker in this moment, where Luke Skywalker kind of has to recognize that he's Luke Skywalker, right? like, and it happens kind of in Return of the Jedi, where he knows that he's kind of a big deal.
I am the chosen one.
Right. And I think this is, if not now.
Well, Luke Skywalker struts into Jabba the Hutt's. He knows.
He knows
he's the chosen one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he knows that he's Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, he's Harry Potter half-blood prince.
And then he has to like live into that. I think this might be the beginning of that moment where you just kind of have to recognize that all of these things have happened to you. And yes, you are uncomfortable with the fact that you have done all of it, but you have done all of it, and that's worth something, right? Mm-hmm. And you can be what you mold yourself to be. And that is an important thing for your main protagonist to go through. Like, you spend all this time building to that moment, right? And now you get a chance to not pay it off, but slowly give the satisfaction of recognizing it and coming into their ability, right? Fully knowing that they are, you know, they're Luke Skywalker, right? It's that Jabba the Hutt's palace moment, right?
I want to note that as Harry goes into the pub, he sees a few people there, and they seem a little odd for him. For example, there's just one person whose head is wrapped in dirty gray bandages. This, of course, is Umbridge's informant that we're going to find out later. Mm-hmm. So I like that Harry's aware of his surroundings. He's a little nervous being around these people. You know, he makes that note of like how Hagrid said, like there's a lot of shady people on the Hogshead, and how people have their head covered. Everyone has their head covers there.
Yep.
And then so that person is going to play a role later for Umbridge. But then there's a witch with a thick black veil that fell to her twos. And this is our Mundungus Fletcher, finally doing his job, showing up and keeping his eyes on Potter, which is super important. So,
you know, what he's actually supposed to do.
Yeah. For the first time in forever.
All right. Anything else? Is that it?
I think that's it.
All right. Good. All right. You want to do a different perspective?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Holy cricket. You're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger, and you are?
Ron Weasley.
Hey, Ron, how are you?
I'm so happy.
Didn't your parents teach you not to start eating when you're talking?
Well, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
You know, we went to this place called the Hogshead.
Yeah, sure.
No snacks. No snacks.
Great pub.
Dirty cups.
That bartender, though.
Flitwick told us to bring our own cups. Totally forgot. Totally. That's what you get when there's Dumbledore's and not Dumbledore's, when there's Gryffindor's in charge.
Yes, right.
We were told to bring our own cups. We forgot.
You forgot.
We forgot. And there were no snacks. What kind of a pub is this? I'll tell you what, it's no three broomsticks.
It's a drinking pub. That's all that matters.
Yeah, except Hermione blew up my spot.
How so?
She wouldn't let me order fire whiskey.
Oh.
So yes, drinking pub.
That's the problem
no
with being
snacks.
With Gryffindors.
Can't even try the booze.
If you were with Slytherin, you'd be absolutely drinking. You'd still be drinking fire whiskey.
Stop. That's like a swear to me. Would never. Would never.
You'd be having your McLovin ID.
I'll be drinking the Hogshead blood before I drink with the Slytherins. My God. All right. So,
hang with the Slytherins.
Listen, I'm hangry. So I came back. Uh-huh. I went and I got some food.
Obviously.
Don't tell Hermione, but I ring-a-ling-a-dinged. I've got my own bell for the house elves.
Oh, my goodness.
I need snacks.
Well, when you need them.
It's my snack bell. Dobby and I have got something worked out. He told me he won't rat on me to Hermione. She doesn't need
it's
to know.
Kind of like Downton Abbey. You just show up, you ring the bell, and you know, Jimmy shows up and gives you some food.
Basically, that's it. But it's Dobby or Winky. So it's my snack bell. Mm-hmm. So I'm back here. I'm snuffling some snacks in because there was no food, and I'm hangry because not only was I hungry, angry, but my sister's had a secret boyfriend.
Yeah, some Ravenclaw.
Before I jabroni. Have a girlfriend, this is why I'm actually mad.
I don't blame you.
My younger sister has a boyfriend before I have a girlfriend?
Well, you know, she's not that bad of a looker.
I don't... But
I know she's a fourth
year. She's my sister, so that means I must look good. If she looks good, so must I. We have the same genes. And yet, no girlfriend for
sure
me.
You weren't adopted? I mean, they color your hair red?
Hand-me-down clothes, red hair.
Must be a Weasley.
Come on, man.
Must be a poor from Rhode Island.
Stop it. So, needless to say, I came back after the Hogshead. Everyone's happy except me.
Yeah.
And I rang my bell and got my snacks. The end.
What's the snack of choice? What are you looking at?
Everything.
What do you mean everything?
You know, like how people in America have Thanksgiving sandwiches, and
yeah,
it's like
sure.
So basically I just have the house elves make me a sandwich with whatever is for dinner. It's delicious.
Just slap some mayo on that
boy
and you're
good.
Throw
some cranberry sauce. Good to go.
All right.
Treacle tart, pumpkin pasties. Smush it all together.
Blood
pudding. I don't care.
suddenly Ron's from Rhode Island. I don't care. Yeah, you ciggies and beer too.
Yes.
Down at the Packy.
The end. End scene.
All right, here we go. We got some email here. You ready for that too?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go.
Miles here.
All right, Marvin. Let's get the first one. This one comes from, I think it's Avraham. I'm not sure the pronunciation. I apologize if that's not it. But they say, I discovered your podcast on Spotify around a month ago and just caught up.
Hello.
Holy smokes. That's a lot of listening in 1 month. I originally read the Harry Potter at some point after it came out. One of my siblings took it out of the library and I started reading it and got hooked.
Nice.
I read all the rest as they came out, but sort of lost interest as the wait in between them came out longer and longer and longer. Recently, though, I started listening to the audiobooks, and once again, I am hooked. It also makes for interesting dreams when you fall asleep to it. I can only imagine what our children dream when they listen to it, because that's the same thing that they fall asleep to as well. Jim Dale in his crooning tones.
It's so good.
Of one of the many books. I want to comment on what you said at the end of Chamber of Secrets when McGonagall said, and breaking 50 rules along the way. You guys were giving her flack for it, but I think it is hilarious given the circumstances. So who can get upset by it? Just my two cents. Thank you for the great podcasts. P.S. Your accents are amazing for discussing such a book. Can you imagine a New York accent? It would totally mess it up. Listen, my friend. Ain't nobody from New York coming on this podcast.
That'd be like a Slytherin having a drink with Ron Weasley.
Oh, my God. Freaking New York. That's the one place I could spend like an hour there, and then I gotta go.
Yeah, Blake doesn't fare well there.
I do not do well in New York.
I thrive.
If I guaranteed, if Mary had not married me, she would be in New York right now, in Manhattan, somewhere doing whatever, wearing a black dress, walking somewhere with her phone in a Fendi bag, you know, in her crook of her arm.
Okay.
Some, you know, with sunglasses on.
All New Yorkers listening in are like, that's not how it's like.
Whatever. You're all the same. All you New Yorkers. Get out of here, New York.
Oh, my God.
All
right, Ron.
You got this thing.
Move on.
Oh, New York's so great. Yeah.
It is.
New York's the worst.
No, it's not.
You can't even order a pizza properly in New York.
Yes, you can. You just are too slow.
No.
Exactly. Move on. Move on.
The next one comes from Serena. She says, I just listened to your most recent podcast episode, and when you read out my email, I totally freaked out.
Well, she's going to freak out again.
Right. Unfortunately, now. I was in bed, so I couldn't do anything too crazy, but I was silently mouthing, oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God, you guys.
To myself so much. Oh my God. Thank you so much for your podcast, especially for reason my question.
It's what? Okay.
For answering my question. Whatever. She's thanking us for bringing the question. Okay, great. I turned 12 on the 15th of November. So
oh
this
my gosh,
sounds
happy
like
belated
she's,
birthday.
Well, it could be December, but what else? So I'm almost the age of the kids in the second book.
Yes.
And I first read this series when I was about 7.
Love it.
I now own the whole series and 2 of the Philosopher's Stones. I think someone gifted the second one to me because it is the more recent version. And I love your podcast so, so much. And now that I'm all caught up on the episodes, I'm going to have trouble finding something half as good as your podcast to listen to while I wait for the next.
Well, I'll just episode. Say stay tuned, as we are going to be having something appropriate for your age and reading coming up very, very soon. So stay tuned.
And Mary, before we continue, would you have any other recommendations on any other Harry Potter podcasts that someone could listen to? Ones that you like? You know, I mean, listen, the people that listen to us, they're going to keep listening to us because they like listening. But, you know, if there's something else that they want to listen to, would you recommend anybody else?
I honestly think Harry Potter and the Secret Text, which I think is like the top one, is fantastic. And it just kind of challenges you in different ways. So that's a fun one.
Sure.
I also recommend this guy, Sam, who does Harry Potter sleep stories.
Oh.
He has a Scottish accent.
Oh.
And it is so good. It is so good if you just need something to listen to while you sleep. A Scottish accented guy.
Yep.
Named Sam. Not Sam Heughan.
Not Sam Heughan.
But who talks about stories about Harry Potter. I think it's called like Sleep Stories with Sam. And he does different stories for different books and series and things like that. Okay. So, but he definitely has a few Harry Potter related ones. So.
All right. Awesome. Okay. Great.
Love you, Sam.
So here we go. By the way, I really, hold on. Sorry. I currently have trouble with getting myself into school, but the books and your podcast always lift my spirits and help me so much. By the way, I really like it when I hear your kids on the podcast. They sound so cute. And I hope that one day I could watch one of the podcast episodes live now that I've listened to them all. Thank you so much for your podcast, and I hope you have a great rest of the year. Well, Serena, thank you. Thank you.
Hopefully we
keep putting up enough podcasts for you so that you keep listening and enjoying and helping you get into school. So
and Serena, if your parents want, they can potentially get like our email or text reminder so that you'll know when we go live.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, so. Absolutely. Good
and
point.
Anybody, if you just go to maryandblake.com, there is a pop-up that comes up asking if you want our emails.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you fill that out so that that way you can get an email because we'll let you know when we go live.
That's right. The last one comes from Sophia. She says, hey, this is Sophia. You asked me what house I'm in, and she says, I am a Gryffindor. And also love the Percy Jackson series. So thank you so much. And that is from Sophia.
Wonderful.
And that is that for now. And of course, if you, the listener, our dear listener, or anybody that is live watching us now, if you'd like to get in contact with us, send us an email, send us some thoughts, you can just go to your email app of choice and email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com, or you can send us a voicemail of any comments or concerns, questions, or whatever. Just again, go to maryandblake.com, click on the voicemail button, and you'll see where you can leave us one there. So
that's
that
right.
Is that. All right, Marvin, you ready to close this bad boy
out?
Sure
am.
All right, let's get it done. Oh, I was thinking, you know, nah, I'm not gonna. I'll just do it. I'll do the normal one. I was thinking, Marvin, about closing out to Simple Man. Just for the sake, for all my St. A's alumni out there.
If anyone is a St. A's alum and listens to the Potterverse, please email us so that way we know. That would be amazing. Well, thank you, friends, so incredibly much for tuning in. As Blake and I said in the beginning of the podcast, this is listener supported. So if we have brought you Lumos in a time of Nox, we highly recommend that you head on over to jointhenerdclan.com, whereas for as little as $2 a month, you can participate in helping make these free podcasts possible for worldwide listeners. And if you join at the Kinsman level and above, you're going to be getting some holiday mail from us. Who doesn't love Owl Post all the way from Providence, Rhode Island? And if you join at the Sassenach level or higher, you'll also be getting a gift, which I promise you, as a Potterverse listener, you're gonna like.
Yes.
So make sure you head on over. We do close these memberships this holiday weekend, so thank you very much if you already are a member there. And on that note, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
Mischief managed.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.